Thank you for that. That was just beautiful. My name is Ross Barron, and I'm a professor in the religion department. And grateful to be here and thankful for your attendance here. I grew up in Southern California, and I grew up very, very sports-oriented. I played football and basketball. I surfed. I wrestled. I was involved in all kinds of sports. It was pretty much a year-round, constant thing. Was not a member of the church growing up. So we played sports 7 days a week, pretty much every single day of the year in my family. It was always going on. And so I joined the church when I was 18 and served a mission a year later to the Argentina Buenos Aires South Mission. Got home from a mission, got married, but still very involved in sports. One of the other things that I did growing up was I surfed all the time. I lived pretty near the beach, and so when we weren't actually playing sports, I was surfing. And then we moved out to a little more inland after we were married, and I got called to be a bishop in the Luverne First Ward. And when I was serving as bishop, it was a huge, vibrant ward, big, thriving family ward. And when I was called to be a bishop, the young men's program was huge, and I got called to be a bishop with 21 active priests in the priest quorum. So imagine that, 21 active priests. And in my ward in Luverne, This, you know how certain areas have sports that they're focused on? Well, the sport that was focused on in Luverne was swim and water polo, two sports that I actually love. And so of the 21 priests I had, 15 or 16 of them were involved in swim or water polo. And about five or six of the water polo players ended up being first team All-American water polo players. And these were if you can imagine, these huge, you know, stripling warrior type guys in my priest quorum. I'm not kidding. You know, they swam, they did water polo, they lifted weights. They were all these torsoed guys, just amazing. And they were all active. All these guys were just incredible. And one guy I want to talk to you about in particular, his name was Keith Dow. And Keith was about 6'2", and, you know, all the girls loved him. And not only was he amazing in sports, but he loved the Lord. Seriously, Keith, just a unique young man, and just a natural leader, kind of very self-effacing. He never took anything onto himself, but he was just amazing. But he was extremely competitive, and I'm extremely competitive. So I was his bishop, but I was also his institute director. And if you've ever been to an institute, some of you probably have, institute directors are really good at ping pong. And I'm really good at ping pong, and so I played a lot of ping pong. And so Keith wasn't good at ping pong, but he thought he was. And so we were playing ping pong once, and this sister here, Kendra, said she's really competitive. I'm very competitive, but I try to keep it all fun. But I'm a trash talker too, which isn't always good. And so here's Keith, 6'2", amazing young man, and we're playing ping pong, and I think I beat him four games in a row, really badly. And I trash talked the whole time. So he said, "We got to play again." So I played him the fifth time. I beat him again. Sixth time, I beat him again. Seventh time, I beat him again. And I trash talked so much that he came after me. So he started running after me, and we were running around the ping pong table. Now, I knew there was no way I was going to beat Pete, so I got under the ping pong table. I was his bishop and institute director. I'm sorry. I was wearing a suit. And he grabs me, pulls me out from under the ping pong table, and starts to wrestle me. Now, I wrestled, too, so I was doing good, but he had me about 30 pounds and more muscle, and he ended up breaking two of my ribs. He cracked my ribs. And so, and we heard it. So while we were wrestling, it was like, pop, pop. So then, you know, then he was Keith, and he's like, "Oh, Bishop, what do I do?" You know, I've broken my bishop's ribs. It was an amazing experience. And so, you know, I've had that over him for the last 15 years. Then what happened was, as Keith was graduating high school, I told you he was an all-American water polo player, first team. And what happens was he was graduating, and all the different schools, this is before his mission, wanted to come to Southern California to watch him play water polo. And so it was a great opportunity. All the Division I schools wanted to recruit him and give him a scholarship. So it was a Saturday night, I got a phone call, and it was Keith, and he said, "Bishop," he said, "you know that they've come to watch me play." He said, "But I didn't know this, but it's on Sunday that they're coming to watch me play." And I said, "Oh, wow, I didn't know that." And he said, "What do you think I should do?" And I said, Keith, I said, I'm not going to tell you what to do. You know, this is a decision you have to make, and you know the gospel, and you have a testimony, I know you do, but I'm not going to tell you what to do. So we talked for a little while. You know, he was looking at kind of weighing the pros and the cons, and I said, Keith, I support your decision. I trust you, whatever you want to do. Okay, you know, so he hangs up. So anyway, Sunday came, and I had all my morning meetings. Our sacrament meeting, I think it was at 11 o'clock, and that's when approximately the time was for their game. And so I came out. I hadn't done much except for meetings in the morning, and I came out. I came up. I was walking up the stand and shaking people's hands, and then there was Keith sitting at the sacrament table. He was going to bless the sacrament. And it was a huge sacrifice for him, huge. And I went up, and I looked at him, and I said, Keith, you know, I whispered to him, I said, you're my hero. And I went and sat down. And, I mean, it was such an amazing thing. Keith then served a mission in the Dominican Republic. He came back and had another experience like that where he was playing for Citrus Junior College, and their team went to the state championship, and it was on Sunday. And he had told them up front that he would never play on Sunday. It was the state championship. They were in Northern California for the state championship. His father was serving as the state president, and President Dow. And so Keith told them, well, as it got, they won, you know, they didn't know, so they won, it was the bracket, and they kept getting further. And now all of a sudden they realized they were in the semis, that if they won the semis, they're going to play the finals on Sunday. And so Keith, you know, kind of, no one said anything, but his dad took him aside, and the state president said, Keith, you know, are you going to play on Sunday? Kind of, in a way, I would. And Keith said, nope, I'm not playing on Sunday. They knew it, and I'm not going to do it. Other members of the team who were Latter-day Saints wanted him to play. He wouldn't do it. Keith would not play on Sunday. And it was an amazing thing, and the team lost, actually. They went to CIA, the state championship, and they lost because Keith wasn't there playing for them. And he said, I don't regret my decision. It was what I told him up front, and I'm going to maintain my integrity, and I will not do it. He's extremely successful and married now, and just an amazing young man. And I always remember Keith Dow as just an amazing example of kind of the epitome of what the sports program should be about. Now, I wanted to tell you something else. I became an adult and had all my kids, I still wanted to be active, so I started doing triathlons. And so I swam and bike and ran, and my typical workout week was the following. Listen to this. So I had 7 kids, serving as bishop, full-time job. I'd get up in the morning and run 6 miles, and then I would swim 2,000 or 3,000 yards at lunch, and then I would bike 20 to 25 miles after dinner. That was like 6 days a week. And my goal was the Escape from Alcatraz Triathlon, which is up in San Francisco, where you swim across the San Francisco Bay, and then there's a bike and then a run. And so I did that. I performed for that. And it's a mile and a half swim across San Francisco Bay at 52 degree water. That was an interesting swim. And a great experience, though. And I finished the Escape from Alcatraz Triathlon. And then I wanted to do a marathon, so I started training for a marathon. I was telling Jacqueline Pope this story, because she asked me if I'd ever done a marathon. And so I started training for the marathon, I was doing really good. And this is what happened during the marathon. I ran the marathon, I was doing great. In fact, I felt phenomenal, better than during my training. And cruising along, probably running about an 8-minute pace per mile, which was my goal. I was doing great. And then I hit mile 21 and my body stopped, just literally stopped. And like I said, I'm a competitive person. I wanted to finish. It was very, very difficult for me. But my body just stopped. And I didn't know why. This was May of 2003. And so I just stopped. And anyway, I went home and really didn't understand what was going on. And then as the year progressed, I started having some very severe back problems. And I kept thinking, I just pinched a nerve. You know, I kept thinking, pinched a nerve. If I could just go to the chiropractor and get a good, you know, that'd be good, you know. Well, the things kept going on, and then I started losing feelings in my legs and my feet. And I kept thinking, I just pinched a nerve, I pinched a nerve. And then I started from my pectoralis major all the way down, I was having paralysis all the way down. And I'm just lame, I wasn't seeing the doctor. And so my wife was just like, I'm going to knock you out and take you to the doctor. You know, I'm just fed up with this. I said, no, I'm going to go to the chiropractor. So I went to the chiropractor. Chiropractor has me fill out this little form. Are you feeling any tingling sensations? Yeah, you know, from my pecs down, I can't even feel the bottom of my feet. He goes, I will not touch you. You've got some kind of, this is a major thing. This is chiropractor system. You've got to go see the neurologist. So every day I got worse. Every day. In fact, I fell down our stairs because I couldn't feel the bottom of my feet. So I went to see the neurologist. And this is what he did. I went in. I could barely walk by this point. And I went into the neurologist. And he said, turn around. He lifted up the back of my shirt. I didn't know this. But he takes a pin out, a little pin, and he stuck it in my lower back. And I didn't move. You know what I mean? He just went, whoosh, and I couldn't feel it because I was paralyzed. And I just said, and he goes, he took it out and he calls for an emergency MRI. And so he goes, we're going to have an emergency MRI. You got to come back at 9 or 10. So I go home and we go back to the emergency MRI. And if you've ever had an MRI, you have to sit, you've got to be in a tube, you know, and they do this thing. And the paralysis is getting worse. So we go home from the MRI. About 10 o'clock at night, we're having family prayer. Phone rings and he says, my wife's on the phone. Here's my wife on the phone. So we're all kneeling in family prayer. My son, my old son's on a mission in Chile. He was there. Six of us were there. Go to the hospital now. The tumor. Extremely serious. Right now. Okay, goodbye. Click. That didn't sound good. That's bad. So we drove to the... they had to put me in the hospital that night. I had a tumor that was... wrapped around my spine at thoracic number 5, high up on my back. It had wrapped itself around my spine and was literally going to break my spine. It was going to break my back. And then I had a tumor in my chest right here, and I had a tumor in my hip. So three big tumors. And they finally diagnosed it as stage 4 Hodgkin's non-Hodgkin's lymphoma cancer. Stage 4 is bad because stage 5 is the spirit world. Okay, so good. And so... So I had stage four cancer, and that was one of the reasons that my body stopped functioning during that marathon. And I wasn't really recognizing the signals, but they were telling me that's what happened. And so I went in. I had surgery. They had to take out the tumor. They didn't take the tumor in my chest or my hip out, and they only took half the tumor out of my back because they didn't want to go around the other side of the spinal cord for risk that it would create permanent damage. But you have to understand, I was paralyzed from the chest down at this point. And so they took the tumor out, and then I had to go through 6 months of chemotherapy. Now, you know chemotherapy is where they drip poison into your body. And the goal of chemotherapy is to see how far they can take you to pain and agony without actually having your spirit separate from your body. That's the goal. And so, and that's what they did. So for 6 months, I had chemotherapy, a radical version of chemotherapy, and then 30 days of radiation therapy. And then at the end of that, you know, you go through all that, and then they have to do the test to see if it worked. And I have to tell you, it's so funny. When I was having my radiation, I had my chemotherapy, and which is, you know, a whole other story. But during my radiation, I went in for my radiation, and they had like 6 nurses and radiologists and the oncologists, and all these people are there. And they set this thing up, like it's really complicated, to make sure that they pinpoint the radiation at the tumor site. Well, they wanted to put tattoos on my back to set up the spot. So they're all sitting there and they're getting ready to go, well, we're going to have to put these 4 tattoos on your back. And I go, I'm sorry, I can't have tattoos, it's against my religion. And they all went, what? I said, I can't have tattoos, it's against my religion. I was totally serious, I was just like, sorry. So they all kind of go, just a minute. And they all backed out in the hallway. And they come back in. Well, we don't know what to do. I said, I can't have a tattoo. They all back out again. So they come back in. I go, why don't you guys use, like, permanent marker? That's a great idea. And so that's what they did. They used permanent marker on my back. And it was great. They didn't have to tattoo me. Later, my wife was like, what an idiot. Just get the tattoo for medical reasons. I was like, yeah, made a stand, it was all right. So anyway, after all the chemotherapy and after all the treatments that went on, I had to go down to somewhere in Orange County in Southern California to get this test. Now here was the test. It was a 3-hour PET scan. So it's like an MRI. You're in a tube and it's for 3 hours. And if you move, they have to start again. Now, and if you're claustrophobic, it's a problem. So what they do is they'll offer you like sedatives so that you kind of just chill in the tube. And I was like, no, I'm not going to chill. I want to be in the tube. I want to have the full tube experience, you know. So don't give me any sedative. They're like, but if you move, we have to start again. No. I'm good. And what I decided to do, and it's really narrow. So the tube is like, you know, it's really close to you. So if you're claustrophobic, it's a problem. They blow kind of cool air in there so you don't freak out. And but I decided I would do this. Remember your scripture mastery in seminary? Well, I memorized all 100 scripture masteries, word for word, and I thought, I'm just going to go through all the scripture masteries in the tube. That's what I did. So I'm lying in the tube, you know. Now, my hair is almost gone. And I'm just chemoed and radiated out. You know, I look like heck, okay? I really look bad. And I've actually gained weight. Isn't this interesting? During chemo, they had to give me steroids to shrink the tumors. So my face, there's pictures of me, my face is totally bloated out during radiation. A lot of people lose weight because you throw up and you can't eat. I couldn't eat that much, but the Decadron was a steroid I had to take. Horrible, horrible, horrible thing. Anyway, okay, so I'm just really weird looking and I'm in the tube and so I'm going through all the scriptures. And that's what I did. So I'm in the tube and I'm just like starting, you know, bam, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. So I just, in my mind, I go through all the scriptures, 100 scriptures, I'm thinking about best experience, so spiritual, I was so spiritual, and in the tube, you know, I'm going through the 100 scripture masteries, this was great, and so I get out, everything's fine, you know, they're going to let me know the results, and I'm driving back up. Now, I had to fast for this experience, and then I was really hungry. Now, there was an In-N-Out burger off of Nutwood in Fullerton. I knew where it was. I was so excited. So coming up the freeway, you know, I have no more chemotherapy, no more radiation if the tests are good. I don't know what the results are, but I'm driving up the freeway. I'm going to get a cheeseburger In-N-Out. So here's what happens. And this is the point of the story. So I drive into In-N-Out. And anybody here knows In-N-Out, it's always packed. And this was lunchtime. And it was packed. But I drive in and there's the spot, parking spot. For me, I'm thinking, the Lord bless me for memorizing all those scriptures. So I pull into In-N-Out, and whoosh, I go right into this spot, like right in front. I'm like, I have such good parking karma, it's working. And so I go into the parking space, I open the door, and there's this guy standing there. He starts swearing at me. You took my space. You snaked me. And he's kind of challenging me to fight right then. Okay, so this guy right there at my door. Now all the guys, you guys are thinking, you know, what do you do? And what's your reaction? Well, remember how spiritual I was? Well, I wasn't that spiritual at that second. I was thinking, you snooze, you lose, buddy. I didn't say that. But I thought, my natural man was kind of up in arms over what was happening. Because he was really kind of in my space, wouldn't let me open my door fully. And so for about 3 to 5 seconds, I was so upset. And then all of a sudden, clicked in, and I said, oh, I'm sorry, did I take your space? You pull up behind me, let me back out so you can come in. The guy didn't know what to do. He just stood there, because he thought I was going to match his intensity, right? I just said, I apologize, let me move out for you. And he just stood there speechless. He did not know what to do. And so he kind of went, okay. And then he pulled his car in, I pulled out, and he pulled in, and he kind of waved at me, didn't know what to do, and I found another parking spot and went in. Now, I tell you that story for the following reason. There's two things in the gospel. One is, you can have a testimony. You get a testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there's another thing to be converted. And this is a process. It doesn't happen instantaneously. But I'm going to tell you something. I think 20 years ago, I would not have reacted that way. But I had to master myself. What's the big deal of a parking space? Who cares? So I'm sad to confess to you that it took me about 3 to 5 seconds before I could master myself. But so here's an interesting thing. A testimony. A lot of times we talk about testimony. You've got to have a testimony. Testimonies are great. And they are. But you know what a bad thing is? A jerk with a testimony. Let me say that again. A bad thing is a jerk with a testimony. Unless that jerk with a testimony moves forward in their life to actually have their heart changed by the atonement to become converted. Do Y'all follow that? And so, here's the interesting thing. Elder Bednar gave a conference address where he talked about the atonement. And that the atonement isn't just to forgive sins. It's not just to cleanse me. It's not just to give me a testimony. It's also to actually change who I am. Change my nature. Now, like I told you, I love to be competitive. I love sports. I love watching sports and participating in sports. But really, and what Kendra said up here earlier, this idea of BYU Idaho changing the world by literally telling you something a little different about sports, about changing our hearts so that we're just not there to win at all costs. I want to win. You want to win. There's nothing wrong with that. I want you to win. But you have to do it with integrity and with the right spirit, and so that our hearts are changed and that we lead by example. In the last general conference, President Monson said that one of his main points in the priesthood session was, we have to be examples. We have to be examples. Now let me share one scripture with you. Go to Matthew chapter 8, if you have your scriptures. Matthew chapter 8, New Testament, first book in the New Testament. This is on page 1200, Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. So the Savior gets into a ship, the disciples are with him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. Now, like I said, I've surfed my whole life. I know what big waves are, and I know how difficult they can be. Last month, I was actually in Israel, and I swam in the Sea of Galilee. I swam where this happened. And it's huge, and I can understand now better how dangerous this can be. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Isn't that cool? Jesus, you know, he's asleep. He's tired, he's in the back. His disciples came to him. I wonder how long it took for him. They're like, let's wake the Savior. No, he's asleep. Judas, you do it. I don't know if they said that, but sorry. But he's asleep in the back. The disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. He saith unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Now that would be an interesting discussion to have. Why did he rebuke him? I mean, you know, it seems natural. Why have you little faith? But wait. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Jesus has power over the elements, and our bodies, think about this, are made up of the elements of the earth. And if Jesus has power over the elements such that they can be calmed, then the biggest problem, I think, in competitive sports is anger and strife, hostility, swearing. And if he can control those elements, he can control me. We can still be competitive. We can still want to win. But we need, before we play, to pray to our Heavenly Father that he can use his power to rebuke the winds and sea and the tempest in me so that I can have a great calm. I testify that he can do that. I testify that Jesus has the power to do that. In whatever sport you're involved in, whether it be cheerleading or spirit, or whether you're playing football or swim or lacrosse, whatever it might be, he can calm us because he has the power over the elements. And then this next story, verse 28. And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergeses, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. That's scary. That's just flat out scary. But when they see Jesus, they cry out to him. And so the Savior basically just casts them out because he has power to do that. Again, I'd submit to you there's a devil in all of us. I know that sounds maybe negative, and I don't mean it to be negative, but there's that impulse within us, the natural man. And just like Jesus can calm the elements, and just like Jesus has power over the devil, he can do the same with us. He can do the same with us. In that tube, and in that in and out, I learned a great lesson. It didn't mean anything to have that parking space. In the end, it didn't mean anything. It was a great experience. And we have to maintain our integrity and remember what this is all about. And the example that we have to be, notwithstanding anything else that happens. I love BYU-Idaho. I do. I love BYU-Idaho for what it stands for. I love President Clark. I love his undeviating integrity and witness. You have to understand that he, in fact, called of God, called by prophets to be the president of this university. You're in a great place. You're in an amazing place. I know a lot of you have the opportunity to be at other schools. I had the opportunity to teach at other schools. And I chose BYU-Idaho. I feel privileged and humbled to be here. I do. I'm not here every single day. I thank God to be at BYU-Idaho. And may God bless you in your competitive sports and in your lives, that you will remember to be examples and to let the Lord change your heart so you can be competitive, so you can want to win, but so that you can do it in a way that will be an example and a blessing to others. And I leave that with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our dear God and Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for all the many blessings that you have given us. We're thankful for the speakers and for the spirit they brought, and we're thankful for the opportunity that we have to be able to attend school at BYU Idaho and that we're able to come and play competitive sports. We ask that thou will be with us this day and watch over the missionaries, that they will be comforted and that the Spirit will be with them. And we again are so grateful for all that has given us, and this we say in Jesus Christ, amen.
There is breakfast out in this foyer for you guys.
Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you so much. That is, I think.
Thank you.